We'll turn to scriptures for that, shall we? I want to read some scriptures, starting in the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Bless God, there was a beginning, and then there was a first. The beginning comes before the first. Hallelujah. The first is from the beginning by the Spirit at the word of God. Thank God for him who came into the world that said he was the first and the last. And that's very, very mighty. I would like to read another scripture or two to you. Firstly, I would like you to turn with me into the Corinthian letter, and I hope that you will be able to form with me from the scriptures that we read the thing that God has for our hearts to consider tonight. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. We'll go back to Mark, shall we? And in the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark, 14 of chapter 16, afterward Jesus appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. I purposely lift out the word "them" because it isn't in the Greek. That he didn't work with them so much as he worked with the word that they preached. Amen. And that was a tremendous thing. And if you haven't got the word of God in you, he won't work with you. The word of God is something more than a book. Praise God. Even the Holy Book, it's something more than that. And I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Before we read Acts chapter 2, I want to make a connection in the first chapter, and it's this. Jesus, speaking to them in resurrection, says to them, verse 5, John truly baptized with water, and you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. At the end of the chapter, nearly 37, when the people heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. I want you to notice this verse very carefully. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children. There's no mistaking what the promise is. It was the baptism with the Spirit. In other words, the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this was the promise that Peter said was fulfilled. He said, this is that. That's what happened to us. This is that. That's the promise that was given to Job. There's no mistaking it. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And I hope that you've noticed a great connection. What's the connection that I hope you've noticed? We've all done your classwork. And if you're all reasonably intelligent, leave alone all you university people or college people, what's the connection? Oh, you haven't seen it really. Pardon?
Beginning.
That's another one, but you haven't really got the thing that I wanted you to notice. You're all good there, it's all good. Amen. It is right on it. Well, the connection I wanted you to notice, so I deliberately read it this way, was between the Spirit and water. The connection between the Spirit and water. I'm going to take my jacket off. And then we'll start. And I want to make one more connection with you. And this time it's in the Ephesian letter. Most of you won't need to turn it up. And it's in the 4th chapter. And it's a word which says this. Verse 3, you are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. I want you to see that Spirit and water is united and connected in the thing that we talked about. You are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith. Are you sure the next word's right? Are you sure you don't believe there are three baptisms? And writing a Bible of your own. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. Perhaps we'd better let the Bible speak for itself. It's mostly been muzzled. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. I'm going to alter one word because it's the Greek. Alter it in your margin. Are you looking carefully at it? 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For in one spirit. The word by there is by means of or by use of. It's in one spirit. Are we all baptized into one body? That if you and I want to belong to the body of Jesus Christ, it's only in the Spirit, and you can only be baptized into it in the Spirit. You must be baptized in the Spirit to become a member of the body. You are baptized in the Spirit into the body. Glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only baptism that there is. That's the one baptism. I want to talk to you about it very, very clearly, beloved, because you will notice, let's go back to Genesis, where we started our reading, that when God was beginning in the great, what was then a new creation. It was then a new creation. It's now become the old one because of sin. Amen. It was the new creation. When God began it, in the beginning, God created. It was wonderfully new from his hand. He did it. He created the heaven and the earth. Bless the Lord. The heavenly before the earthly. And the earth was formless and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving upon the face of the waters. Amen. The Spirit and the waters. It's always been like that with God. Do you remember how that I said last night? Or was it, I don't know when it was, might have been yesterday afternoon. That God always sowed the original truth and the original idea in Genesis. There may be variations from that because of need and because of sin. But he always moves true to himself. And this is marvelous. He sowed the original idea, the Spirit and the waters. Hallelujah. And there, beloved, you have the whole story, really. Because, again, if you will remember last evening, we were speaking about the power and the place of the blood in the new covenant. And we were seeing how clearly there that the Lord's shed blood ended the age of bloodshed. It had been bloodshed, 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 bloodshed. And then came Jesus and shed his blood, and that ended the age of bloodshed. And it was all over, and that's why all the notions about there's going to be a time on the earth when the Jewish temple is going to be erected again and bloodshed is going to take place again is blasphemy. The age of bloodshed is over. There's not going to be any more animal sacrifices on this earth, accepted or countenanced by God. That the blood of an animal should supersede the blood of Jesus is blasphemy. I rejected all that school of prophecy when I realized that it led me to that. I threw it away. Hallelujah. Like there's one body, there was only one blood in it, beloved. We could say one blood. Amen. It's also tremendously true that whatever the future holds, it doesn't hold a reinstatement of animal sacrifices on this earth. And moving from there, because I'm not particularly wanting to stay on prophetic interpretation, but coming to our great truth that Jesus Christ's shed blood on the cross ended the whole of the era of bloodshed. And in the place of bloodshed, God instituted or ordained something more. That the bloodshed led on to what was the original idea, spirit and water. Amen. Now the water idea had been introduced by John Baptist. You will remember that John Baptist came into the Jewish nation, as it was, not composed entirely of the tribe of Judah, but nevertheless called the Jews, and John Baptist came into their consciousness and into their history as a great prophet from God. And he stayed out there in the wilderness and he baptized in Jordan. My word. And he was a burning and a shining light. He was filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb, we're told. And he came and he was the one that called Israel to Jews to Jordan. And there he said to them, if you really want to get rid of your sins, I'm putting this in a colloquial, of course. You can read this yourselves in your opening chapters of each of the Gospels. He said, if you want to get rid of your sins, you come here and confess them in Jordan, and you'll be baptized in Jordan for the remission of sins. Now, that must have hit that Jewish world like a sledgehammer. For they were then relying upon the blood offerings being made at the temple for forgiveness of sins, you see? That's right. When Jesus went up into the temple, after he'd been to Jordan, notice what he did. He went up into the temple, there they were selling all the animals for the blood sacrifices, he kicked them all out. Overturned the tables of the money changers, you see. See the glorious logic of this great thing that God is beginning to reveal. John did not say, of course, now you've been baptized, we must conform to the pattern, go and get your lamb and trot up to the temple and make your sacrifice and then you'll be forgiven. That this is only a sort of a dumb show out here, this is a charade. The real thing is there. That's not what he said at all. He said, if you want your sins forgiven, he came sent by God. This was the thing that Jesus challenged them with. He said, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? They didn't answer him. They were afraid to answer him. Because they knew if they were true with him, they had to come to the logical conclusion that God was on earth. And that they didn't want to accept. So, they knew it was from heaven. They said, if we say it's from heaven, they'll say, well, why didn't you believe him? Because John said, well, I'm the one, he said, the lamb. I'm the lamb. You don't want any of these other lambs, you see? See what he's really saying? I'm the lamb. You don't want any of these others. Glory. You've got it, haven't you? But he said, if we say it's of men, the people will stone us, because they were all persuaded he was a prophet. So you see what liars have to do. They might keep their mouths shut. They didn't say anything. Liars have to do that sometimes, dishonest people. It won't face reality. It's surprising how you can come up like that where spiritual truth is concerned. Will not face reality. See, men won't face the reality of only one baptism. They won't face it. They won't face that. They'll make two at least. Three if they can. That's right, they will. Because, you see, if you face it, you've got to ditch all your ideas. See, when I faced the fact that the temple was going to be rebuilt and the blood sacrifice was going to be instituted, it meant I got to ditch all my ideas, but I was honest enough to face it and ditch them. Amen. Amen. I'll have nothing to do with that blasphemous nonsense. Neither will I have anything to do with the fact that there are two baptisms. Or the idea that there are two baptisms, the fact that it's stated. But that there's only one. Glory be to the name of... Mind you, I used to tag along with this idea of two, three baptisms once upon a time, but when I logically faced it, I rejected it. Lock, stock and barrel. Amen. And now, beloved, here then is the great and marvelous truth that God is wanting us to understand, that God was introducing a new method. Baptism. John came with a baptism in water, and he said, this is only to show you, really, that there's going to come one who's going to baptize in the Spirit. That's all baptism in water is about, to show you that one is going to baptize in the Spirit. This is the thing that Jesus drew their attention to in resurrection in Acts 1. He said, now John truly baptized in water. You see, he says, but now you're going to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And he was speaking to people who'd all been dipped in Jordan by John. And they knew what a marvelous and wonderful baptism it was, and how relieved they were that their sins were all forgiven. All forgiven. Hallelujah. Marvelous, wasn't it? God was introducing the new idea. The whole idea for the gospel age since Calvary, God's method now is not bloodshed, it's baptism. That's God's method. Amen. And I don't mean water baptism either. That is why, beloved, I sought to show you the connection of the original idea of God in Genesis 1 with the statement in 1 Corinthians 10. You remember I turned you straight to it, where you're told in 1 Corinthians 10, moreover, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that all our fathers were under the cloud and so on, and that they were all baptized unto, now that's your same word, into, it's the Greek preposition, as into one body. It's your same truth, same thought in the Greek. There's your preposition. They were all baptized into, only they couldn't be baptized into Moses. He wasn't the great God. So the preposition means into or unto. So it has to stop at unto here. They were baptized unto Moses. But in the wonderful truth of God, it was into the Mosaic covenant, into the Mosaic order, into the Mosaic system. All right. They were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now, where were they baptized unto Moses? Where were they baptized unto Moses? Come on, let's have some classwork. I'm not trying to catch you. I want you to be so sanely simple. That's all. I'm not trying to catch you. Don't look for a catch in this. Where were they baptized unto Moses? Where were they baptized? In what were they baptized? No, they weren't. They never got wet, any of them. They were baptized in the cloud. You see what it tells you? They were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. None of them got wet. God just made a great corridor through the sea with the shining walls. They were as dry as a bone. Yeah. Perhaps ought not to say bone. That institute that sort of talks about death. they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. The baptism took place in the cloud, in the sea. Now that's why I read to you, this is right. Yes, amazing what the Bible really says, isn't it? When you read it. That's why I read to you that wonderful story, or the account of what, plainly the account of what took place on the day of Pentecost. You see? No, there was no water near them when they were in the upper room, I assure you. They were baptized in the Spirit. You see? Perhaps you may think, as I think, that the name given to the sea is a very apt one in Mosaic times. It was called the Red Sea. You've only got to connect colour, haven't you? The Red Sea. Now, these people can't make head or tail of it. They want to make it stuff or reedy sea. They want to make all kinds of things of it. But God calls it the Red Sea. You can't get by it. I bet the waters were as dirty or as murky or as blue as the sea can be, but he called it the Red Sea. That's where they were baptized. And perhaps you'll think that's where they were, the disciples were baptized too on the day of Pentecost. I don't know whether you'll think so or not. In the Red Sea of his blood. Amen. I think perhaps you might think, sir, if you really aren't too sort of tied down, without letting your imagination run away too much. But certainly, they weren't wet at all. In fact, they were very dry if the fire burned. And they were baptized in the Holy Ghost. And then, at the end of that blessed occurrence, when you know they sort of erupted into flaming tongues and they spoke forth the praises and virtues and of Jesus and his marvelous works, and everybody turned up to see what was happening. Amen. They filled Jerusalem with the noise of it all. Praise God. So don't get upset if people think you get too noisy. Everybody has to have a noisy patch. Amen. They were so noisy that everybody turned out. 3,000 of them. Oh, glory to God. They turned out. What a din. 120 of them all shouting out at once. Oh, in all kinds of tongues. Marvelous, wasn't it? Amen. God intended everybody to hear and everybody to understand what he was doing. And it was a tremendous thing. It was none of this hole and call of business and all. I want you to baptize me and spread up in the corner. I'm one of these quiet people. I like this nice quiet business. Worship. As though they were blasphemously wrong on the day of Pentecost. Blasphemously wrong. Making a noise like that. Shocking. Well, there you are. But they had something to make a noise about, I think. But the great thing, beloved, was this. That when they all turned up and Peter stood up and started to preach to them and told them what it was, this is the promise, he said. This is that which God has said. As far as Jesus has gone up, he's received the promise. This is what Joel was referring to. This is the promise you've got in your own scriptures. This is the promise that the Father made to the Son. And he's gone up to receive the promise. And we've got the glorious fulfillment of the promise. The fullness of the promise. What a blessed thing it was. They were baptized in the Spirit and they never had a drop of water on them. And when they heard this marvelous message, which of course you will know was not a sermon, but it was prophetical ministry under the power of the Holy Ghost, they all gathered round and they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" You see. And he said, "Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you will receive the Holy Ghost." You see? That he connected the water and the Spirit again. There they were, And they expected to receive the Holy Ghost. And they were symbolically baptized in water, really baptized in water. But that wasn't the baptism. And it's not the baptism until you're baptized in the Spirit. They led them to believe it would happen all at once. That's what the Apostle Peter did. Because it's there. The Spirit of God was upon the waters in the beginning. Amen. The Spirit of God was on the waters when they crossed the Red Sea and in the waters. Amen. The Spirit of God should be upon all waters of baptism too. Should be. Alas, alas. This then is the great tragedy. That we've made two baptisms where God only intends to have one. Amen. And what a precious thing it is. For did you see, beloved, that that cloud is the type of the Holy Ghost? Now let's go back, shall we? And read in Exodus. Why, this is so precious. Oh, it's so lovely. You know, in the 12th chapter we were talking about the blood on Saturday night, I think it was, last night. And God showed, I trust, quite clearly the truth concerning the blood. You will find that as you leave that chapter and go into the 13th chapter, at the end of the 13th chapter, and really, beloved, please do take this into your heart. This is one of the most tragic places of occurrences of misplacement of chapters that there is in the whole of the Bible. There should be no chapter division between 12 and 13. None at all. The same day. Look at verse 4 of chapter 13. This day came ye out in the month Abib. You see, it's the same day of the Passover. Same day. They came out of Egypt the same day. The 13th chapter should not be there as a 13th chapter. It all belongs to the one great occurrence. You see? And as you go down through the chapter, you get to this place, and in verse, God led the people about, verse 18, through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. You see, he wanted to show them that this business of just sprinkling blood on a house for protection, or he wanted to show them something, there's got to be a sea of blood. There's got to be a great red sea. It's all in type. You've got to see this so tremendously. And this is where, you see, the devil met his nemesis. Pharaoh met their nemesis in the Red Sea. They couldn't get the children of Israel once they were baptized there. Couldn't get them. Couldn't touch them. This is they attempted to, but wasn't it on the cross, in the shedding of his blood, at the sea, the red, red, crimson sea of the blood of God, where, shall I say, so far as we're concerned, Pharaoh and all his hosts were drowned. Hallelujah. Praise God. If that blood could expunge and expiate sin, I tell you, it could deal with the devil. For he's a lesser being. Amen. He's a lesser thing than sin. If you get rid of sin, the devil can't do anything with you. Let's get this very, very clear in your life. And so God led them to the Red Sea. Because as we saw in the 12th chapter, the blood that was sprinkled on the houses was only a token. It tells you that. It's for a token. It was only a token thing, that sprinkling of the blood. I'm going to put you right down into it. Ha ha. This is God. So he led them to the Red Sea. Isn't God marvelous? Because the Bible's a lovely storybook when you really know what it's all about. When you really know what this book is saying, beloved, it's marvelous. Providing you've read the New Testament through about 10 times, you can then read the Old Testament and you'll begin to see what it's all about. You should never read the Old Testament first, even if Psalm 23 is your favorite. You've got to read your New Testament, and you won't know anything about the Old at all. And this here then is the great, this is the great truth. And God leads them and through the Red, to the Red Sea. And children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Amen. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the wilderness, in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to teach them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And then you go bang on into the 14th chapter. Amen. And it's in the 14th chapter where the great baptism in the cloud. You see, this is the first great thing that Jesus promised about the Holy Ghost. Keep your finger in Exodus 14. We're going into John chapter 14. Now this is very easy. 15, I'm sorry, and 14, 15, and 16. You can get this very clear. He gets them in the upper room. You see, he's introduced the whole idea of the internal baptism in blood by saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink it, all of it. If you're cold, shut the window. That's right. One of you tall men. It's marvellous that people like to open it, but they're... Now let's shut it too, shall we? Now let's go on, shall we? And in John 14, 15 and 16... Back we come then. In these marvellous chapters of John, when he has introduced them to the great internal baptism in the real sea of red blood, glory, by drinking it deeply into themselves, the whole idea is being brought here. He starts to talk about the Holy Ghost. 14, 15, 16. And when you come to the 16th chapter, he says in verse 7, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the advocate, paraclete, comforter, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Now notice, the Lord is travelling. If you like to carry your figure through, the blood shed, the cup set on the table, they drank it. The Lord is going away, and he's now walking, as the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. All right, here you have the 11 men of the nucleus of the new spiritual Israel. And he's leading them. And if you like, he's going to lead them to the great Red Sea. He's going to shed his blood. Amen. Keep these things ever on the forefront of your mind. Know what God is getting out behind all the action on the face of the earth, behind all the wonderful stories, behind all the great teaching. He's moving basically on one simple thing, and it's all variations on the same theme. All the lot. It all turns round the blood. It all turns round the Lamb. It all turns round the blessed Spirit. It all turns around this, whatever else you think. And you'll find it's consistent with the revelation whichever way you look at it. You may look at it this way, you may look at it that way, you may look at it this way, you may look at it that way, you may look at it that way, but it's all the same. It never varies. And according to the different way you look at it, so you see a slightly different angle on it. But the truth is the same and cannot vary. He's leading them on, glory be to the name of the Lord, to the great baptism in blood. Amen. That's right, isn't it? He leads them on into this marvelous thing. And you will know also, beloved, that... I didn't know something could be so amusing. Please somebody do something about it. Will you switch off? Self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. The Lord is leading them on to this tremendous place in this in history, and showing us this in spiritual experience. And he says, I'm going away. Then he says, the Holy Ghost is coming. And in verse 12 he says, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. They'd borne enough. It was tremendous what they'd had to go through. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you. There it is. That's right. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak from himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine. That's right, the Holy Ghost received of his precious blood everything. He offered himself by the eternal Spirit to God. Amen. The Holy Ghost has received all that is of Jesus, all his life, all his virtue, all his blood, all his redemptive power. Amen. And he has come down in the glory and wonder of it. And it's all here, and he's going to guide you. And that's precisely what we find in Exodus chapter 13. He, the Lord, went before them, verse 21, by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way. Isn't it glorious? By night or by day, the guide had come. And, praise God, that's the first teaching about it. It just fits in with this tremendous thing we read in John. And then the Holy Ghost led them wonderfully. The blessed cloud led them to the Red Sea. And there, with the rod, Moses parted the sea, the great mediator of the old covenant. He parted the sea and led them into the sea. And there they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud. In the sea. Not in the water, in the sea. Oh, it's very important for you to realize that. As I've said before, suffer me to repeat it again, not one of them got wet. In fact, the great feature of it all is that they didn't. He made a great broad road. It was a narrow enough way in the great sea. It was only the narrow way that led to life, but for those that walk in it, it's broad enough. Amen. And he baptized them in the cloud, in the Holy Ghost. Only typically, in the sea. And what was done in Egypt was incomplete with what was done in the sea. Amen. Hey, it's all so precious and wonderful, beloved. God save us by his grace from all these watery baptisms. that mean nearly nothing, though we try to pile the doctrinal emphasis upon each act. Oh, hallelujah. Were you baptized in the Spirit when you were baptized in water? Or better still, were you baptized in the Spirit before you were baptized in water? As all has happened in the Cornelius' household, were you? Were you, sadly enough, this happened to me. I was baptized in water years before I was baptized in the Spirit. Amen. I was sort of told that this was the way, you see. But not when I read my Bible properly. I didn't find it that way. Peter said, repent, every one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He didn't say now, next week, or 2 years afterwards, or something like that. And at the end of that day, they were immersed in the Spirit. Amen. And they were added to the church. You can only be baptized into the body in the Spirit. That's all. The church. Glory. You can read it. God adding to the church daily such as should be saved. They were added to the church. Glory. Wasn't it a marvelous thing, beloved? There's no other way to add to the church but by the baptism in the Spirit. The church is in the Spirit. That's where it is. It isn't anywhere else. It isn't out of the Spirit. You're not sort of baptized into the body outside of being baptized in the Spirit. And afterwards you're baptized in the Spirit. What a lot of nonsense. What blasphemy it is, really. These cockeyed doctrines. Amen. I was baptized in the Spirit years after I was baptized in water. I'm sorry to have to say so. And this is really what's behind the statement in Mark 16 that people make such a fuss about. Once you get what God is after clear in your mind, there's no misunderstanding much about the meaning of Mark 16, where God said, verse 15, the risen Christ said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. There it is. Which baptism was he talking about? You see, this is the big thing. Amen. Amen. No, nobody's unsaved because they haven't been baptized in water. Oh, praise God. But you see, the whole thing is correlated. Baptism in water and baptism in spirit were one in the early church. They were connoted. They were thought about as in the same terminology. Amen. It's a tremendous thing. And this is why when you read in Acts chapter 8, down at Samaria, they were all baptized in water. I know, why. When this news got back to Jerusalem, they sent down the apostles helter-skelter. Fancy being baptized in water and not baptized in the Spirit. Go on down there, Peter and John. Go on. This watery baptism's going to creep in if we're not careful. This idea, we're going back to John if we're not careful. Let's come up to Jesus. They believed in Jesus and been baptized in water. No, go on, down there, lay your hands on them. Let them receive the gift of the Spirit. Let them be baptized in the Holy Ghost. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not, well, if you don't believe, you won't get baptized. That's all there is in it. It's as simple as that. If you don't believe. He that believeth not shall be damned. He doesn't say if you're not baptized, that doesn't enter into it if you don't believe at all. Doesn't enter into it. It's only because the church has slidden away and kept baptizing people, and sorrily enough, so many people, when they're not old enough to yell except in protest, that's when they're a fortnight old or something like that, because cold water's dripped on them.
as though that were baptism.
Oh, hallelujah. Of course it's not. Let's face the honest facts without any artifice or trying to get round it. Let's all see what... Believe and be baptized. A baby can't believe, and you can't believe for it either. Believe and be baptized. God wouldn't force such a thing on a child. He evidently don't mean children, unless he's mad. Either he is or I am. The great truth is here, beloved, without any sophistry and argument about it. Believe and be baptized. Amen. And this is what he said. Now, these signs will follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall, you know, speak with other tongues. Oh, glory be to the name. Obviously they've been, where are they? They're members of the body. They're functioning in the gifts. They've been baptized into the body. It's as plain as anything, or else I can't understand the Bible at all. These signs follow straight away, not after they're baptized, after they're baptized. Excuse me, that's not tautology, I meant it. I'm not repeating myself. Not after they're baptized, after they're baptized, after they're baptized. Then they'll speak in tongues, and they'll cast out devils, and they'll lay hands on the sick and they recover. Don't you dare write your own Bible. Amen. This is so plain to me, and I love it. I love its simplicity. I'm not saying everybody who gets baptized in water is baptized in the Spirit. I'm not saying that. But I see what God intends us to see. Let's have another look, shall we, at this wonderful truth of the Holy Ghost being the cloud. That is, in type, in the Old Testament. I go into Exodus 24. We've been here before. Of course, we've been in all these chapters before. And here in... Exodus 24 in verse 12. The Lord said unto Moses, come up unto me into the mount and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. You see? And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. There it is. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire. There you have the Spirit and fire now. Same truth. On the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses was in the Spirit. Now I'm not reading into the Bible. This is truth. He tarried in the Spirit, that is, in the cloud, 6 days. And we read this in the Scripture. And this is only typical, of course. This is the type. You know, here's John. I was in the Spirit. And then an angel said to me, come up into a mountain here. And he showed him New Jerusalem. You see, this is right through Scripture. You find the same idea. You've got to be baptized in the Spirit. And you will remember, keeping your finger in that chapter because we're coming back, that in Matthew, the Lord teaches this marvelous truth. In the end of Matthew, that is 28, He says this. Verse 16. Chapter 28, 16. The 11 disciples went away into Galilee unto a mountain. Praise the Lord. Amen. Went to a mountain. Isn't this precious? Where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. Why, this is it. Let's go back to Exodus 24. Verse 12. Come up to me into the mount. Hallelujah. Why, it's almost the same, isn't it? And be there. I'll give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I've written that thou mayest teach them. That thou mayest teach them. So the whole of this great scriptural truth, the ideas that are in Scripture, are all brought together in this marvelous thing that God is doing. And Moses went up into the cloud, and there he stayed with God. And he came down, and he then had something to teach. That's right. Would God all our teachers abode in the cloud? In the spirit? Would God they did. Because there are many teachers teaching many things. But few there be who teach in the spirit. Few there be. Amen. And do you remember and think again that when Jesus was on this mountain, you know it was Olivet, we can read about this in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. You needn't turn it up unless you want to. He was on top of this mountain. He raises his hands to bless them. And whilst he was blessing them, they sort of thought he'd grown taller. But when they looked, his feet had come off the mountain. And up and up. And, lo and behold, it was a cloud that received him out of their sight. It was a cloud that received him out of their sight. He went into the spirit. From visibility into invisibility. Now then, beloved, this is the great and glorious thing. And when all the people in these days, I expect you hear them, they sing songs, they create poetry, they write music, they preach sermons, they search the scriptures to preach about and exhort people to enter into an experience called the latter rain. You see, don't they? Let's have the latter rain. Well, pray you, where does rain come from? Clouds. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. This is all precious, isn't it? Hey? Do you see these great connotations of ideas that the Lord has written into the glorious Scripture? But if you live in the Spirit, you won't want any latter rain. You see, if you really live there, if you've been baptized, may I say, in the cloud and in the sea, if you really have, in absolute reality, that is the truth of which the type speaks. You won't want to be immersed in the latter rain. I mean, after all, rain's only drops. When you can be in the sea, why keep bothering about drops on you? Eh? I mean, even if it's large drops like monsoon, it's still better to be in the sea
If you're in the sea, you don't feel the rain, do you?
No, of course not. I've never heard of fishes complaining about the rain.
Or ever saying they want it.
I've never heard a whale talking about let her rain.
Amen. Have you?
No.
Now God intends us, beloved, to have been immersed in the cloud, in the sea. Everybody's talking about getting baptized in water. I was engaged in a baptism only the other day. I was up in Scotland. It was a marvellous time.
Tell you what, nice trip. You can go to this lovely place up in Scotland where I was, Sam. Gorgeous house, standing 25 acres of ground, marvellous stream running in the bottom of the grounds. Gorgeous up there. You can even go fishing, if you like fishing. But to see six people being baptized in the river up there, it was precious. But beloved, so far as I can remember, I think they'd all been baptized in the Spirit before they were baptized in the river. I think they had. This then is the mighty thing. Hallelujah. To be baptized with the one baptism. They were only baptized with one baptism, children of Israel. The baptism was in the Spirit. God made quite clear it wasn't in water. If you read your Bibles, he shows you that. Push the water back. Amen. I'm not advocating this, but I'm explaining. This is how, say, the early Quakers in the Salvation Army people baptized in the Holy Ghost, neither of them believing in baptism in water in any shape or form or at any age. I'm not saying they're right. I'm not advocating it. I'm only telling you. Amen. And so far as I know, some of the mightiest men that ever walked the soil of this land were in those two movements. That's all I can tell you. Hallelujah. Now may the Lord lead us into the truth. Not that I'm advocating you sidestep baptism in water, but I'm very glad an apostle once said, the Lord didn't send me to baptize in water. I only baptized you and you and you and a few others. Crispus, Gaius, and the household of Stephanus. I don't think I baptize any more, lest you should say that I baptized in my own name. Water baptism can bring a wrong name if you're not careful, and a wrong loyalty. But baptism in the Spirit can only bring you one name, and it's not Pentecostal. Amen. Only brings you one name, it's Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. That's what the baptism in the Spirit, that's because it brings you into his body. You can't have any other name. Amen. It's his body. You can only bear one name. When you're baptized in the Spirit, into the body. So I turn with you, beloved, into 1 Corinthians. And perhaps, as I was saying yesterday, it's as well that if I preach something like this wherever I go, I ought to preach it at Antioch or HQ first. Then you will know what I'm really preaching. You will know what I'm really preaching. Amen. And this then is the great and wonderful truth. I feel before God that I must lay this thing down as a foundation. We're needing men to lay the foundations for us again. They're all written in Scripture. One of the great things that God said would come with the outpouring of the Spirit, that you shall raise the foundations of many generations. Do you remember where this is quoted? I'm quoting from Isaiah. This is the great truth, beloved. But we come to 1 Corinthians 12 and we see the wonderful thing again.
verse 12, as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one in, I'm sorry, I ought to reemphasize this, you may check this up in any Greek Testament concordance or what you will. In one Spirit are we all baptized. Now, you can't have two baptisms in the Spirit, beloved. One baptism. In one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Greeks, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. We're not all made to drink into one water, but we are made to drink into one Spirit. Amen. And it's only when you drink for this great internal baptism, and you're not looking for flames to shoot off your head, or prickles to run up and down your spine, or tinglings to shoot off the tips of your fingers, but you're drinking into one glorious Spirit. Amen. Don't you want the Spirit of the life that's in Christ Jesus? The life that was in that blood? Amen. You're baptized in the Red Sea. You're baptized in one Spirit. You drink into one Spirit. You are in one body. You bear one name, one Lord. See? And you get that one Lord at the head of the one body in verse 3. I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit calleth Jesus anathema or cursed, and that no man can say Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's the Lord, one baptism, one body. You've got three things set for you here in this chapter, you see. Amen. And so the Lord is bringing us in. There's one Spirit, so you've got four things set in this chapter. One name. Oh, it's all so blessed. It's so true. It's absolutely marvellous. I'm only sorry that through wrong teaching in my young days, I thought differently. I know better now. And the Lord is moving to restore the ancient truth. Amen. That we may live in it and walk in it. That God should tell us the way we should go in the future. I've been made to drink into one Spirit. Have you? Now that Spirit is the Spirit of a whole body. That is, I've been made to drink of the same Spirit that's in you, if you're in this body. Yes, we all have drunk the same Spirit, all totally immersed in that Spirit. I've lost my peculiarities, and a good job too. I don't mean that I don't take my glasses off and put them on again when I'm preaching, and sometimes drop them on the floor. But that's not the important thing. I mean the fact that I'm no longer north of north, you see. I belong to Jesus. That's right. And I've got to be like him. Amen. I've got to be a member of him and a member of you, for we're members one of another. How about that? You see? You see, I've got, you see that? That's a finger. But I tell you that there are three sort of little members and joints on that. All members one of another. And that's joined onto my hand. And that thing down there is called a palm. And I can wave it when I stand before the throne. Hallelujah. And I can glorify the Lord. Amen. This is what the Lord wants you and me to do. In utter release. That's right. that we should move in the marvels of his grace. Are you baptized in the Spirit? There are further experiences from this, of course, afterwards. Amen. There are things that go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Amen. That you should see these great things of the Spirit of God as you move on and on and on in the great glories of God. But oh, beloved, it was the great baptism in the Spirit in the Red Sea that did it. I want to tell you, the new method of God is baptism. Bloodshed is over. Amen. See? It's the baptism. Baptism, the new method of God. Oh, it comes through preaching. It comes through ministering. It comes through teaching. Amen. That is, if you've got something to teach. That is, if you've got something to minister. For you will know that the ministry of the new covenant is not the letter, even of the book, but of the Spirit. It's this ministry of the Spirit, so that he's sort of flowing through you so that people can get baptized in him. It's as simple as that. That's the ministry of the new covenant. Amen. Flowing through you so that other people can be immersed in him. It is a marvelous life. And, you're all drinking of one Spirit. And the blessed ways of the Lord are displayed. The power of God is upon everything. And I praise God that's still the same. The Spirit of God is moving upon the face of the waters. Amen. Hallelujah. What's the water? Well, you can listen to the voice of Jesus and see what the waters are like. It's like the sound of many waters. People know they can be baptized in them. Drink them if they're thirsty. If it's the voice of Jesus speaking through you. Amen. Glory. Oh, it's so precious. The blessed immersion tank is here. The sea is here. Hallelujah. Nothing to stop you being baptized in the Spirit. In the Red Sea. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, if I'm baptized there, how wonderful it all is. Now, beloved, let's all go on, right on in this, shall we? Remember that even when you've been baptized in the Spirit, you see, in the Red Sea, the blessed cloud is there for guidance. He takes not away the pillar of cloud. That's what he said, be with you forever. The Spirit of truth which proceeds from the Father. You're not just led in the way, you're led in absolute truth. He's the Spirit of truth. Amen. And I want you to see, beloved, that in the cloud there's a lot of witnesses. Hebrews 12. Great cloud of witnesses. Amen. They're all in the cloud. And he says, you'll be witnesses to me too when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. Isn't he? That's right. All the true witnesses are in the cloud. They're in the Spirit. That's where they are. Amen. To be a witness unto him. You shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you. That's the literal Greek. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, that's why we're told, beloved, that we're to take our eyes off all the glorious heroes of faith in the 11th chapter of Hebrews and look unto Jesus. We're to be a witness unto him, not to old Abraham, or Moses, or Joseph, or David, or Noah, not to them, witnesses unto him. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Amen. Have you been baptized unto Jesus in the cloud? In the spirit? Mm-hmm. Have you? Mm-hmm. To be a witness unto him. If he accepts me for a witness, that's marvelous. Yes, you can be a witness unto me now. Amen. Couldn't I be a witness to you before, Jesus? No. No. But now, yes. Amen. And so, beloved, I see that when I really drink the blood, I also drink the Spirit. When I drink the Spirit, I drink the life. Amen. That's right. I'm in this mighty and wonderful thing that God is doing. And are you in it? Now, what you've got to do is to be in the Spirit. And the only way you can be in the Spirit, beloved, is just to be filled all the time with him. Amen. And you can go on and on and on and on with the Lord. And one of these times, you'll find that the Lord will come and say, come home. You see? And then you'll be in the city of witnesses, New Jerusalem. And the Lord will do marvelous things in eternity through you. No more sea there, we're told. There's a river. There's a river. And the Lord wants you and me to be here. Oh, witnessing and living with a stream of living water flowing through me. With all the glory of Christ revealed in me, that I might be a witness to him. And he wants to give you gifts and wonders and abilities according to his will. He'll do this. You should be here, beloved. You won't get it for working in fleshly energy. You'll only have it if you come right out of that in the Spirit. Right out of that, you've got to cease, you've got to drop everything else. Everything. Amen. If you're busy with your own works, you won't be able to do his. Amen. If you're working in your own strength, you'll have none of his. If it's your own name you're trying to make famous, you'll not have his. But if you really want to move in his life and in his grace, subside now in his arms. Sink into the glorious sea. Be immersed in the Spirit. The Spirit has not particularly come to immerse your body. The water may do that. He has come to immerse your spirit. Immerse your soul. Bring it out of self-identity into Christ-identity. That's right. Bring you into that glorious life of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Let's pray, shall we? You seek God.